We are pleased to inform you that you have a place at Potterversity.
Welcome to Potterversity, a Potter Studies podcast. On this episode, a Harry Potter travel opportunity. Thanks for joining us at Potterversity. This episode is sponsored by History Bites Tours. Today, Emily Strand and I are talking with Solomon Schmidt about his History Bites tour to England and Scotland that features lots of great locations for Harry Potter fans.
I am Katie McDaniel, professor of history at Marietta College in Marietta, Ohio, co-editor of Harry Potter for Nerds 2, and with Emily, co-editor of Potterversity, essays exploring the world of Harry Potter.
And I am Emily Strand, professor of religion and author of several Harry Potter essays, including my chapter in Potterversity, which I co-edited with Katie.
Today, Emily, we are going to be talking with Solomon Schmidt from History Bites. He has a YouTube channel and a pretty cool website as well. And he has a great tour that he has put together that our listeners might be interested in taking part in that features a lot of prime Harry Potter locations, as well as others that are in other fantasy novels, like the novels of C.S. Lewis or J.R.R. Tolkien. And I wondered, Emily, if you have done any Harry Potter tourism?
Yes, in fact, I have. Several years ago, this was before my son was born, so probably 15 years ago, my good friend Sophie, hi Sophie, she and I, her parents were living in the UK at the time, and so we went over there and we visited the Harry Potter sites at Oxford, which was really fun, and so we got to do that together. But I also I was always an Arthurian legend fan, so I was visiting sites, important to Arthurian legend, Glastonbury Abbey and Tintagel. I even made it all the way to Tintagel at one point. So not Harry Potter, well, kind of Harry Potter related, but yes, I have this history of going to see my next is I really want to see the sites associated with the book Watership Down by Richard Adams, in the UK. So I'm hoping to do that. What about you? What?
Well, I was going to say
book-related tourism. Have you?
Laurie would tell you that Arthurian stuff is also very much in the Potter and the Potter books, right? So
yes.
Shout out to Laurie. And I did my study abroad in college at Cambridge, just a summer study abroad. And I was in Cambridge, England. I was like, this is where I just want to be here. How do I have a career where this is what's a part of it? And so then I applied to graduate school to study British history. So I've always felt like England just has so many layers of history and also popular culture and all of that. When I was married and a total Harry Potter fan, my husband and I took a trip to London. I was pregnant and with my first child, and I was like, we will never travel again. maybe 18 years from now. And yeah. So I want to go back to London, one more time before this. And we went to Platform 9 3/4 when it was not a major tourist site. I mean, right. They had the cart in there, but you had to go back and find it. And it was kind of dark and there was no photographer there.
Yeah.
And so I totally did that. I was like, we have to do this. So I did that kind of early days Harry Potter tourism.
Yes, that's awesome.
It's fun. It's like a pilgrimage. We had talked with Caroline Toy about people who do fan pilgrimages.
Mm-hmm,
and you have this kind of, you're doing this because you want to be in these places that have a particular meaning, almost like sacred to the people who love these stories so much. Joining us to talk about his upcoming 8-day summer tour through England and Scotland this coming July 5th through 13th of 2024 is Solomon Schmidt. Solomon is the author of 8 books in a series called History Bites, and he hosts the History Bites YouTube channel where he posts interviews and educational videos. Solomon is a world traveler and brings not only a historical perspective to his travels, but also an interest in fantasy literature like The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lord of the Rings, and of course, Harry Potter. Welcome to our show, Solomon.
Thanks for having me. I'm so delighted to be with you both. And I love and appreciate what you both and everyone have done with Potterversity and all the tie-in books and MuggleNet. I'm just in awe of all of you.
That's great. I mean, we're some serious Potter fans. So Solomon, just to kind of ask you the question we ask almost all of our guests, what got you interested in Harry Potter?
You know, Katie, thanks for the question. I'm going to reveal a dark secret. For many years, I was one of those Lord of the Rings fans who constantly is trying to create a rivalry between Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter.
Okay.
And figure out, is Gandalf more powerful than Dumbledore? Is Dumbledore more powerful than Gandalf? And blah, 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 blah. Not saying there isn't a place for that. I respect all you diehard fans who take these debates. But what it led me personally into was I didn't read Harry Potter at all. I didn't read the books, watch the movies. I just figured Lord of the Rings is great. Narnia is great. Tolkien's great. Lewis is great. What do I need Rowling for? And a few years back, I had visited England for the first time in 2019. And Katie, you were talking to me earlier and you mentioned that when you first went to England, you just had this overwhelming feeling of, I want to stay here. I want to be here. My feeling, my thought when I went in 2019 for the first time was, this is home. I've come home. Wow. I had this overwhelming sense of, I am home.
Wow.
And I have not felt it in any other place in the world except for my actual home. To me, England and Scotland, the UK, is a second home. And the reason was because of my profound love for Tolkien and Lewis. And the original genesis of this tour was, how can I help people who love Tolkien and Lewis like I do have the same experience? And a friend of mine, when I was talking about this, an older historian friend of mine said, if you're going to the UK, you must add in Harry Potter. And I thought, oh, here we go, Harry Potter again. Oh, my goodness. And he said, there are experiences in Scotland that are once in a lifetime experiences that whether or not you're a Harry Potter fan, you will love them. He talked about the Jacobite steam train up in the Scottish Highlands. Mm-hmm. He talked about Edinburgh, where J.K. Rowling lived and wrote her books and went through so much suffering. And I started to give Potter a chance. And I read the books, started reading about J.K. Rowling's life. And ever since then, I have been hooked completely and totally. I have just not, I am not near the level of you all who run this podcast as far as the dedication I've given or the contribution I've made to the Potter universe. But I love it. I love, love, love Harry Potter. I love the books. I love the movies. I love parts of J.K. Rowling's life story. And I just became on fire for Harry Potter. And so I thought, how can I make an experience that gives Rowling, Tolkien, and Lewis fans the feelings I felt in England and Scotland. And I started to put it together an itinerary. I'm sad to say it started with foolishness.
No, you know what though, Solomon? I kind of identify with that because I had heard a lot about the books, and they were kind of almost getting a little overhyped to me. You know, and then I saw that the first film was going to come out, and it looked good, and it was pushing my Anglophile buttons. You know, I'm a longtime Anglophile as well, and I was like, I want to see that film, but I feel like I should always, you know, I always feel like I should read the book first, and then that's how, so I don't think it's such a strange story, you know, to start with a little bit of skepticism.
Yeah,
and then it makes it even better that, you know, you've grown to love it so much that you started from sort of an opposite place.
And I love that the travel itself was what brought you into it, because that's one of the things that's so wonderful about travel, and just wonderful to be able to bring like traveling and reading together, which maybe seems like an odd combination, but to me, they go together so perfectly well.
Okay, so your love of literature got you interested in starting this tour. And so what was it like putting together the itinerary, and what Potter-related sites are on the list?
Great question. It was so much fun putting the itinerary together. Partly because I was able to visit England multiple times before the first tour was run. And there is nothing like standing on the white cliffs near Bournemouth on the southern coast and looking out to the ocean beyond and thinking of a line from Tolkien where he talks about the call of the seagulls and how Legolas's heart was drawn to go oversea and into the West.
Yes.
You experience that. And you know that on these cliffs in England, you're in the place where Tolkien thought up these things. Maybe not everything. We know he was inspired by his experiences in France and other places. But when you're in England or Scotland, you know that these are the places where Tolkien, Lewis, and Rowling lived, wrote, and suffered many things and experienced many joys, and you feel a connection to them in your bones. So it was very exciting putting together the itinerary.
So often, Solomon, I think that, you know, we can see that people were very inspired by the locations in which they were doing their writing, you know, and it sounds like that you're able to tap into that as well with some of these sites.
Absolutely. And I want to make something clear, because I have a feeling that the fans who are listening, I know they are going to be intelligent fans, and I have a feeling they're going to be extremely intelligent fans. So what I want to make clear is that this tour is not the kind of tour where I'm going to go to Edinburgh and say, did you know that Edinburgh Castle was the inspiration for Hogwarts, and that J.K. Rowling just took Edinburgh Castle and a school near the cafe where she wrote, merged them together, and poof, out came Hogwarts? I'm not saying there isn't an element of that, and I'm not mocking people who say that. This is a tour where you're, as much as possible, and I've tried to do this as much as possible, do the research and put the thought behind giving our guests the objectively true information, real information that we can attribute directly to Tolkien and Lewis and Rowling, as far as this spot inspired me, this spot just came out of my head, the idea for Aslan came here, etc. This isn't a tour where everywhere you be, I'm going to make up some cheesy correlation between one place or another. You're going to get the real history behind these sites and these places and how they truly impacted Tolkien, Lewis, and Rowling. And so with that, you asked about some of the itinerary spots. The reason this tour was so much fun to put together and the reason it's so much fun to go on is because the places are extraordinary. Just a couple highlights for you. These aren't just Tolkien and Lewis and Rowling sites. I wanted to make sure that when you went on this tour, when you go on this tour, you leave England and Scotland having seen some of the most famous sites, so that when you come home and your friends ask you, you went to England, did you go to Stonehenge? Are you going to say no? And they go, why didn't you go to Stonehenge? So some of these sites are a mix of historic and fantasy. We spent some time in London. You will see Big Ben, the Houses of Parliament, the Tower Bridge. We have lunch the first day of the tour at a luxurious restaurant called the Ivy, which has been in London for about 80 years. And it's a beautiful spot right across the river from the Tower of London. And we have a private dining area, and it's terrific food and an absolutely beautiful location. That's just the first Saturday. That's just July 6th. And also while we're in London, you go to platform 9 3/4. You go to the real King's Cross Station. You go past areas where the crew filmed. And then there's a spot which some people have made up to look like the real platform 9 3/4. And there's a terrific Harry Potter shop at platform 9 3/4. I'm actually wearing a t-shirt right now that I got from that store. That's just Saturday. We spend some of the day in London, and we have several guests this year who are coming in a few days early to see a little bit more of London and soak it in a little bit more.
That all sounds amazing. Oh my gosh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it really does.
And this is going to sound so salesman-y, but that's just the first Saturday. That's just the first day. And the day's not even over yet. After you leave the Ivy, after you leave London, we drive to Bournemouth, which is a seaside resort town on the southern coast of England. On a clear day, you can look out to the English Channel, and it's breathtaking. And so we stay that night in the Hotel Miramar, where Tolkien used to stay, and you can see the room, and there's a plaque on the wall commemorating the fact that Tolkien wrote parts of the Silmarillion in that hotel, looking out to the English Channel with the same view you'll have on the tour. And you stay in that hotel Saturday night on July 6th for this year. The next Sunday is a day to kind of catch your breath after the adrenaline of Saturday, and we go to a spot called Old Harry Rocks, which is this iconic white chalk cliffs location. And you take this sort of the cliff edge, and you're walking on a trail through this meadow and through these forests and English countryside until it opens out onto a vista where you can stand at certain points and you can look left and see a wall of chalk cliffs as far as your eye can see, going around and around in a curve, and the whole coast of England to one side and the other. If you turn right, the same kind of view, and it is wonderful. And that's the morning on Sunday, July 7th. In the afternoon, we go to Stonehenge, and we also end that night in Oxford. And one of the things I'll pause here to note, this tour is a whirlwind tour. And by that, I don't mean that you are constantly going to feel out of breath and exhausted and miserable. What I mean by that is, I designed this itinerary to give you as much bang for your buck, meaning in 8 days, you're going to see as much as you possibly can, but I've designed this itinerary so that it's flexible. If at any time you as a guest say, I don't really want to go to that spot, that's fine. I'll tell you where we're meeting in a few hours, and we'll rendezvous there and continue out the itinerary, and you can sit on the beach or sleep in or get a cup of tea and soak in the city or the countryside. You're welcome to do that. I encourage guests to do that. Guests on our tour last year did that. Obviously, there are points where we all have to get together and go on our coach, which is how we travel. We travel around the UK in this beautiful coach with these comfortable seats, great views because the windows are huge and you can pull a shade across them if you want to sleep, air conditioned. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful coach. And that's how you go from location to location. Going back to the itinerary to summarize what our trip looks like. Sunday night, you end in Oxford. And for the next 3 days, we will be spending a bit of time in Oxford. We stay at this 5-star hotel called the Old Parsonage, which is this lovely, quaint stone cottage, which has been totally refurbished. It doesn't lose the old-fashioned feeling. When I say refurbished, I just mean it's got modern rooms and air conditioning and comfortable beds and a beautiful bar and a library and a fireplace and seating outside. And it's right across the road from Tolkien's church, St. Aloysius. It's incredible. And over the next couple days, on Monday and Tuesday, we see a lot of Tolkien and Lewis related sites. You see Tolkien's house and his grave. You tour through Lewis's house, the kilns. You go into the rooms where he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. You go to the pond where he and Tolkien used to swim, and they would take walks in the surrounding forest. You drive by the Eagle and Child, where Tolkien and Lewis used to meet over drinks on Tuesday mornings. And hopefully by next year, when it's reopened, you go in and—
Oh, is it closed?
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Well,
oh,
honesty
no.
and truth requires me to say that since COVID, the Eagle and Child has been closed. It's the facade is still there. And I know all you Tolkien and Lewis fans are saying, big deal, I want to go inside. I understand. I sympathize. It should be open. Someone has finally bought it, and it should be reopened by next summer.
Yeah, I did hear about that. I run in, I don't know if you've heard of Signum University, but Signum University is started by Tolkien professor Corey Olson, and its initial focus was Tolkien studies. And so I think I did know that somebody posted that it's changed hands now and that they're hoping to reopen it. That's a shame, but you know, there's nothing that special about the inside of the pub. It's just kind of like any pub, but it is the vibe of it is really cool. But it's nice that you can still kind of drive by and check it out.
You're right about all that, Emily. But again, to me, if I were a Tolkien fan listening to this, I'd be saying, yeah, but I want to go inside. This is not to make anyone feel better. But standing on the outside and seeing the facade is an overwhelming feeling. Reading the lettering on the side of the pub, seeing the windows, seeing the sign, it's an overwhelming feeling. So that's just one element of Oxford. We also go to Magdalen College, and we tour the lovely grounds around Lewis's, C.S. Lewis's old college where he taught, where the Inklings used to meet every Thursday night, where Tolkien and Lewis and Lewis's brother and some friends would sit around and discuss their latest stories. And we also walk in Magdalen College, Addison's Walk, which is this tree-covered path where Tolkien helped bring C.S. Lewis to faith in Christ, which, as we know, is the reason Lewis wrote so many of the books he did. We also stop at, as far as Potter-related sites are concerned, Oxford is terrific. You've got Christchurch College, which beyond being, it's not only historically significant, the Potter-related sites are unique. The Bodley Tower staircase, where Professor McGonagall greeted the students when they first enter Hogwarts in the first Harry Potter film. We go to the Bodleian Library, which is the Library of Oxford University. And there's a neat spot in the Bodleian called Duke Humphrey's Library. In the first Harry Potter film, Nicholas Flamel, when Harry is looking through the restricted section and Filch almost finds him, that's in Duke Humphrey's Library. And it's also incidentally where C.S. Lewis used to research for his books. So that's one of the really cool things about this tour. There are many Harry Potter related sites. And then once in a while, the Potter-related sites are also significant to Tolkien and Lewis. So there's a just wonderful sense of connection between these authors and between these fantasies.
I think that's so great. Yeah. So, and I was just thinking that I do think that probably a lot of people who've seen the Harry Potter films, and you don't even have to have like been devoted to the films, but you will recognize so many of those locations that have now become like, when we think about what it looks like inside Hogwarts, we are actually thinking about Oxford and these locations that you're talking about.
Right. I know. But it's also so great to have someone like you who's done the research and figured out what is where and where the site actually is to guide you. Because like you said, Solomon, when you go over there, it's also wonderfully old worldy and kind of nostalgic. You start to kind of feel like everywhere you're at is from a story you love, you know, so it's a little hard
Absolutely.
To distinguish. So it's great. It's really great that you've worked all this out so that your guests don't have to.
Absolutely. And Emily, you touched on another really interesting point, which is the fact that England and Scotland just feel old. It's like you said, it's the kind of place where every rock has some story. The church that you just stumble upon in the countryside is 500 years old and has this grand bell tower and secret stairway. And there's a castle with a moat behind this forest, which if you drive down this narrow lane, you stumble upon. I've had these things happen to me in England and Scotland, and it's absolutely amazing. And it's hard for us in the United States to appreciate that until we go and see it. And then once you appreciate it, you just soak it in.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. I had the same experience where, you know, as Americans, you know, the church that I go to is was built in 1855. And I was like, wow, that's pretty old. Like, but that's nothing. That's like a new building there.
Right.
As Americans, like, that's a pretty old structure. But like, comparatively, things go back a long way there. But I was also going to mention what you said earlier. I love all the old stuff, but I really want, I like the facilities to be up to date. I like nice
accommodations.
I like nice accommodations. I do think that you have paid a lot of nice attention to that, Solomon. So I appreciate, you know, all of the, you know, kind of high end elements that you bring together with some of the things that are older and, you know, give you that, you know, that sense of the rustic or what have you.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. And all of our accommodations are either 4 or 5 star hotels. And one of them is, I mentioned earlier, the Hotel Miramar, where Tolkien himself used to stay. The old parsonage in Oxford is terrific. And our other hotels are comfortable, and the food is great. And all throughout the tour as well, whatever meals we stop at are going to be tremendous meals. In Oxford, we have lunch one of the days at the Victoria Arms, which is a hundreds of year old pub where Oliver Cromwell had troops during the English Civil Wars, on the same spot where the Victoria Arms was built. And it's just incredible. And the Inklings used to meet there, and the food is so good. And speaking of Oxford, a couple other itinerary highlights would be in Christchurch College is the dining hall, which looks just like the Hogwarts dining hall and inspired Chris Columbus and the other filmmakers on the first Potter film to create the real Hogwarts dining hall.
Cool.
Also, you'll see the Radcliffe camera, which is this beautiful dome structure with these sort of like, they look like eyeballs on the top. It almost looks like an octopus without the tentacles. And it's this lovely old building, and it's part of the Bodleian Library. So that those are our Oxford highlights. There are points throughout the tour where you as a guest, you won't just have to listen to me. First of all, you can mute me whenever you want. We have wireless headsets throughout the tour so that you can stand 50 feet away from me and hear me. You can be on the cliff face and have the wind blowing and hear me, or you can mute me, whatever works. But there are also points where I've arranged local guides. My staff and I have arranged local guides at different places who have just a whole different level of local expertise and knowledge specific to each location. So you can really take in details from different locations. And getting into Scotland now, Scotland is like England in that there's so much history, so much to take in. But the thing that Scotland has that makes it stand out are those beautiful rolling green hills, and sometimes not so rolling, sometimes more jagged and imposing mountains. And it is overwhelming to drive through the Highlands. And that is part of what we do. But to get back to our itinerary in chronological order, on Wednesday, we have this wonderful day where we drive from Oxford up to Edinburgh. And it sounds like a lot of driving, and it is a bit of driving. And it's really the only day on the tour where there's an extended amount of driving, you know, a few hours of driving. But what you're driving through is lovely countryside. And last year, previous guests have taken a nap, read a book, done things to make that time really relaxing. And also part of the way, we stop at this rest stop called T-Bay Services. And if you've ever been in my home state of New York or any other state, I'm not complaining about our rest stops here in the United States, but a lot of them aren't really anything to write home about. This one is. T-Bay Services is run by a farming family, and it's located in the Lake District, which is an area in northern England, which is
it's beautiful,
gentle, beautiful hills, mm-hmm. and clear lakes, and you're right in the middle of it when you stop. So it feels like you're 100 miles away from the highway, and the food is fresh and delicious, and it's just a great stop. So from there, we go up into the north, past the England-Scotland border, and arrive in Edinburgh on Wednesday night and check into our hotel. And then Thursday is our day to see some of Edinburgh. And this is our day where, and of course, we've talked about J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter up to this point, but this is our day to really dive in to Jo Rowling, to dive into who is this person who has given us this series? What experiences in her life formed her? And I'm not trying to get all, and I don't mean that psychology is a bad thing. I'm not trying to get all psychological here and try to read her motives or figure out exactly what has influenced her. My research, I have done research through listening to interviews, through reading books about her, reading her own books. And so whatever information you hear on this tour is ultimately deriving from J.K. Rowling or trustworthy secondary sources. And so in Edinburgh, we visit Greyfriars Kirkyard, which is near where she used to live with her daughter when she was going through these tremendously difficult times of being on welfare and being mocked and being totally depressed to the point where she has said that the Dementors came out of that dark time of depression. You're in the place where it happened. You're walking the streets she walked when she was pushing Jessica in her stroller. You're walking through the graveyard that some people believed she walked through, and maybe it inspired her for some of the names. But the bigger point is you're there in the place where J.K. herself suffered, where she experienced turmoil of soul and anguish and great sorrow. I'm not trying to say that this day of the tour on Thursday becomes depressing. It just gives you a unique window into J.K.'s life and Harry Potter that you'll never have experienced before. And so you get part of that experience in Greyfriars Kirkyard, a historic cemetery, but also a place where some people believed that J.K. Rowling may have derived some of the names, you know, on the tombstone, one tombstone that has since been stolen by Harry Potter fans. One of the tombstones used to say Sirius Black. And the last time I was in Scotland, that tombstone was gone. And the workers at the cemetery said, these people came in the middle of the night and with a crowbar and
oh my gosh,
jammed it off the wall and took it home. So
it was probably our technical director, Emma. She's a big Sirius fan, so I wouldn't put
That's
it past
true.
Her.
Right. The good news is she hasn't nabbed the one that says Tom Riddle or the one that says McGonagall and some of the other ones that are very interesting and certainly seem to suggest that J.K. Rowling visited there, although she herself denies it. We will discuss that more on the tour together and get guests' thoughts on that issue. You also
that sounds like a fun source for debate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you also see George Herriot's school, which some people say helped influence the design of Hogwarts. I can't confirm that. It's an interesting building. It's near the cemetery. At the very least, it's an interesting place to take in. But the really awesome spot, if you like Harry Potter, is Victoria Street, which has shades of Diagon Alley. Whether or not it inspired J.K. Rowling, it looks like Diagon Alley. And it's a street she would have walked past and walked through, certainly. And on Victoria Street is not only the place where we stop for lunch, Bertie's Fish and Chips, which is known as one of the greatest fish and chips restaurants in the UK, but across the road from Bertie's is this three-story Harry Potter shop. Behind me, there's a giant tea towel that says Dumbledore, Daft or Dangerous, and it's the Daily Prophet clipping from, I think it's the Order of the Phoenix, and I got that from the Harry Potter shop on Victoria Street. And from Victoria Street, we take this just amazing walk through Edinburgh. And again, you're walking through the streets where J.K. would have walked to get to her various cafes where she wrote the books. One of them has been turned into a Chinese restaurant, and you can see a little sign on the road that says on the floor above this shop is where the Nicholson's Cafe used to be. And you can walk inside the Chinese restaurant and see a plaque right next to the spot where J.K. used to sit at her table and write. We also will go past the Elephant House, another location where she wrote. Finally, you also take a stroll by the Balmoral Hotel, which is this giant, looming five-star hotel where, if any of you are familiar, J.K. locked herself in for the final couple weeks that she was writing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And she needed to take a break from the kids needing to be taken to school and the dogs barking and the dishes needing to be taken care of. And she said, my goodness, I have to finish this book. I have money to throw at this problem, finally, after so many years of struggling. And so she checked into this beautiful Balmoral Hotel and finished the Deathly Hallows, finished the last of the Harry Potter books in that building. And then from there, we go on to lunch. And then the afternoon is spent. And this is going to sound like a crazy full morning. It is. We start earlier in the morning, and you get several hours to tour these sites. We're never running. We're never out of breath. It's never like that. There are places to stop, and guests often go into gift shops and tea shops along the way and chocolate shops. And so we take a nice stroll around Edinburgh. And then in the afternoon, you have tickets to Edinburgh Castle, which is
yeah,
just
that's cool.
Imposing structure that overlooks the entire city. And from the top of the castle, you can turn your head 360 degrees and see the ocean and the city and the mountains for miles and miles. And you see the cannons and the royal palace. And you can see the crown jewels and the very sad, very moving war memorial. You walk underneath the portcullis and you walk on the stone steps and you go across the bridge that takes you up to the castle itself. And it is just incredible. Roam through the castle. Do whatever you'd like. Your ticket is covered all throughout the tour. All of your all your entrance and guides fees to these sites are covered. Once you come to the UK, you have to cover airfare. But once you get to the UK, pretty much everything is covered. Your coach is covered. Your hotels are covered. All your breakfasts are covered. Some of your lunches are covered. One of your dinners is covered. And then the great thing is you get the other 7 nights of the tour free to roam around Oxford, to roam around the beach at Bournemouth and make your own dinner plans, which is, I think, one of the just the funnest part of just being able to roam and explore these really cool places. And so,
yeah, I like Solomon that you have a mix of structure and also
yes,
the ability to kind of do what you like. And I think that's a good combination, seems to me.
Yeah, and there's such convenience in, you know, knowing that even if you don't, you know, make a lot of additional plans, you're going to have a really nice full experience without being too exhausted. So sounds really
that's
fun.
Right. That's right. And that's what we tried, my staff and I tried to give. And so finally coming to the last big day of the itinerary, after your time at Edinburgh Castle is complete, we get to a lovely drive through the Scottish Highlands up to Fort William, which is this small town by a loch, a lake surrounded by mountains. It's right under the shadow of Ben Nevis, which is the tallest mountain in the UK. And you just go off up into the mountains. And without trying to sound cheesy, there really are times where you think that Hogwarts may be around the next hill. You get that feeling. You get that sensation. When you are taking that drive from Edinburgh to Fort William, there's nothing like it for a Harry Potter fan. I take that back. There is something like it. The next day of the itinerary, after we've checked into our hotel, is a ride on the Jacobite steam train. And if it sounds like my voice is in awe, it's because it's awe-inspiring. All the superlatives,
yeah,
all the words you could use to describe it, it is that and more. You leave from the train station at Fort William, and it's a couple hours there and back to Mallaig, which is a seaside town. And along the way, you go over the Glenfinnan Viaduct, which is that bridge where Harry and Ron are flying with the blue Ford Anglia in the Chamber of Secrets, and Harry's falling out of the car and the train's right beneath him. And then, of course, there are other shots in the films where you see the train going across this bridge. It's iconic. It's breathtaking. And all the while, you're going through mountains and past these crystal clear lochs, the lakes. And there's history to appreciate at the same time, as well as Potter-related sites. You go past what is probably the most moving Potter site for me. You go by the small island where Dumbledore is buried, and that's incredibly moving. You realize you're basically on the Hogwarts Express. and you're going by where Dumbledore is buried, it's incredibly touching, incredibly moving. And so you go from Fort William to Malleg. You get free time to go get lunch. There's also a spot on the train where you can buy chocolate frogs and Bertie Bott's every flavor beans. And it comes with the trading cards. And there's actually someone pushing a trolley through the compartments, just like in the Harry Potter films. And there's a place where you can buy Harry Potter memorabilia, guidebooks, and souvenirs. And so you go to Malleg, you come back, you have that terrific experience on the train. And then following that, we make a really special stop in the hills of Scotland, in this small town called Pitlochry, for a final farewell dinner at the Athol Palace, which not only interesting historically, it's this incredible palace. It's in the hills of Scotland. It's nearby a lake, and you see it. It's surrounded by the countryside, and it's this unique, impressive structure with this imposing facade, and it's this beautiful stone structure inside. It is like Beauty and the Beast, and you know, the red carpets and beautiful chandeliers. And when you eat dinner, not only is the food sensational, but you look out and your view from the windows is the mountains of Scotland. And we have a farewell dinner there, which is really moving. Last tour, there were tears. There were people crying. That is how much it meant to them to be on this tour. And then that night, we end in Edinburgh. The next day, your breakfast is covered at our hotel in Edinburgh. And we sadly say goodbye at that point. That is the highlights of our itinerary.
Yeah.
I'll add this last point, which is that's not everything we do. All that I've
wow.
mentioned isn't even, it's not, I'm not going to say it's not even close, but there are many other things we do on the tour besides what I just mentioned.
That's great.
I'm sold. Sign me up.
Yeah. I know. I want to do this. Yes, absolutely.
It does. And it sounds like a
love
blast.
To have you.
So much. And it's, you know, you're just hitting all kinds of wonderful spots, you know, since I'm a historian who loves, you know, fantasy literature, you're getting all the things that I would want to see. And I was just thinking that, you know, we talk about, you know, people curating things, and I feel like you've kind of curated some great locations for a wonderful tour, Solomon. It just sounds like you've just been so thoughtful about it. And I'm not surprised that people, you know, that people really loved it and felt it was meaningful. So just for anybody who's listening who might be interested in taking this tour this July, tell us a little bit about the pricing and, you know, how it all works, how they would sign up for that.
The cost per ticket based on double occupancy is $39.95 per person. And when I say double occupancy, I just mean that this is for you if you're booking for two people. So if you're a husband and wife, if you're booking for two people and you're sharing a room, it'll be $39.95 per person. And it changes slightly depending on if you want to come single supplement or a larger group. This summer, we've already had guests. We have a guest who is staying by herself, who booked the single supplement. We have a guest who we have guests who are coming as a family, as a foursome. And so the price changes a little bit because of that. And that $39.95 figure, what that includes is all of your hotels, 8 nights in 4 and 5 star accommodations, all your breakfasts, one of your dinners, which is the farewell dinner. And then the other nights, you're free to make your own plans and have that free time in the evening, and 3 lunches at incredible spots, including the Ivy Tower Bridge. Your ticket also includes your coach travel throughout the whole trip. So you don't have to worry about how am I going to get to Stonehenge from Bournemouth. We're always on this beautiful coach. It covers all your entrance and guides fees. It covers your ticket on the Jacobite steam train, your wireless headset, and then a few other things as well. So like I said, once you come to the UK, virtually everything is covered. And I just, you know, my staff and I just want you to be able to relax and have a wonderful tour. And you can register and look at our payment policy and cancellation policy at historybites.com/tour. And at the bottom of the page, there's a registration section, and you'll see an option where you can add to cart a ticket and then indicate how many tickets you want. And the process is simple for payment. And as an aside, I know that a lot of us have PTSD from everything that happened with COVID and how quickly the world shut down. So what our policy is history with History Bites Tours is a full refund will be given at any time if there are any government restrictions put in place that make traveling to the UK impossible. So you don't have to worry that I'm going to send the money, the UK is going to shut down, and then I'm going to lose it all. That won't happen. So that's just for everyone's peace of mind.
No, that's great. That's great. That's definitely a generous policy, compared to some others that my family experienced. We were trying to do a family, full big family vacation. And, you know, my poor mother got stuck with a very uncooperative, Airbnb or something. Yeah. So no, in this day and age, you have to kind of to offer that. So that's great to know. Yeah. But tell us about what people have said about the previous tours. You've got some great reviews on your website. Give us some of the highlights.
Absolutely. All my life, I've wanted to visit England and Scotland, where my ancestors are from. When my husband, Al, and I saw this tour that highlighted three of our favorite writers, we could not resist. My expectations were high, but I can tell you Solomon exceeded them all. He is well-read and articulate. He knew his material and brought us into the writers' lives. And then there is Rowling, the Edinburgh girl who dreamed of being a writer and gave the world magic, wizarding children, and the fight for good versus evil in a completely new and delightful way. Whose household has not been touched by her creativity? We even went to Platform 9 3/4 and rode the Harry Potter train. Solomon also found time to take us to other special UK places like the Plaza in front of Big Ben, Stonehenge, and Edinburgh Castle. Scotland, what can I say? Riding in the coach, looking out the window at the gorgeous green lowlands and highlands, waterfalls and lochs and mountain streams, it took my breath away. If you get a chance to go on a tour with Solomon Schmidt of History Bites, don't let the chance pass you by. And no, I did not pay her to write
this. Wow. I was going to say, Solomon, until next time, class dismissed. That's amazing. So yeah, that's
yes,
great.
And you can see others on TripAdvisor. We have a TripAdvisor page, History Bites Tours, and you can read about, many other reviews that are similar to that.
Yeah, and Solomon, I can just tell that you care about the guest experience, and it sounds like you're responsive to what the guests need and so on, and you have the, like I said before, the right blend of structure and flexibility. So I hope that, you get a good crew this time that also has a wonderful, meaningful experience. And it just sounds like a really cool 8-day journey.
Thank you. I hope so too. And this is going to sound cheesy, but guest comfortability is the goal. And I concur with you. I hope that too. And I'm really looking forward to meeting whoever is joining us this summer. And I'm hoping that this will be an annual trip. So even if you can't make it this July, my staff and I are already considering some dates for July 2025. There's been some interest for the tour next summer. So I'm hoping that this will be an annual event.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing this opportunity with us and our listener, Solomon. Today, we will leave with a quote from Headmaster Albus Dumbledore, who, in The Half-Blood Prince, said to Harry, "Let us step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress, adventure." Happy travels to all those Harry Potter tourists out there seeking out magical adventures this summer. Thanks to History Bites for sponsoring this episode.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Potterversity. Send us your thoughts on the episode or propose ideas for future episodes by writing to potterversitypodcast@gmail.com. If you like the show, consider leaving a review on iTunes. And be sure to follow Potterversity on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Potterversity is brought to you by MuggleNet, the number one Wizarding World resource since 1999. Emma Nicholson is technical director, and the show is produced by Laurie Beckoff. Our theme music is performed by The Town, featuring Sean Elsbund, Scott Hacker, Travis Princey, Ashley Shepherd, and Emily Strand, and produced by Sean Elsbund. I'm your announcer, Dr. Sarah Brown.